In 1936, Vogue magazine's best dressed woman in the world was Kentucky-born Mona Bismarck, acclaimed for her sense of style and her extraordinary beauty. The Fraser History Museum in Louisville presents an exhibition featuring 50 of her ensembles. I'm speaking with Penny Peebler, the museum's president. Hi, Penny.
Hi.
Give us a sense of what made the magnificent Mona, as she's being billed, what made her so special?
Well, she certainly had a grace and authenticity, which was really born, I think, from her roots growing up on a Kentucky horse farm. She was raised by her paternal grandparents, primarily on a farm in Kentucky in Lexington called Fairlane Farm. Her grandfather was a farm manager and her father was a horse trainer. And that farm eventually was sold to a different family from Wisconsin and became Calumet Farm. So you can just kind of imagine growing up in the early 1900s and 1920s in that very proper Southern lady, you know, growing up in that environment and seeing her grandmother and her interactions with both the family who owned the horse farm and other staff members. I think there was a femininity, an authenticity, a grace, and a style that made her who she was.
And how did she rise to become the best-dressed woman in the world?
Well, she used the tools that were available to a woman of the day, which were limited. She married well. And each time that she married a little bit better than the time before. So the great love of her life and her longest union was to Harrison Williams, who was another Wisconsin native, and he was the richest man in the United States. Harrison Williams was her great love. So that's really how she got to be the best dressed woman in the world, because she could afford to dress very well from the top couturiers of the day.
And give us a sense of who those designers were.
Well, of course, there's Madeline Vionnet, Cristobal Balenciaga, and Givenchy. And as I said, her dressing was really considered high art. That's something that Vogue magazine said about her in 1967. And so she had impeccable taste. So she began what really was a 30-year collaboration with Balenciaga as both a great friend. And of course, Balenciaga is known as the father of modern haute couture design, and she was a very special patron of his.
How is the exhibition organized?
The exhibition is organized in much the same way a fashion show would be. So you come in, and then the first gallery is really about Mona as a person and a little bit about the history. And there's a wonderful tableau there where you can see some of the party guests that she would have interacted with when she was moving around through Cafe Society. You can see some of the letters that she exchanged with luminaries like American presidents, Cole Porter, Cecil Beaton. Truman Capote was a good friend of hers. And then you move into the first gallery, which is all about her day wear. So you see some beautiful Balenciaga suits and hats, day hats. Then you move into an area that encompasses cocktail dresses and then jewelry, 24 pair of Roger Vivier shoes, a stunning emerald and diamond brooch, which is by the jeweler Suzanne Belperron, who was another favorite of Mona's. And then from cocktail, you progress into evening wear. And then the final gallery is all about her loves. Her garden on the Isle of Capri was legendary. She and Harrison Williams bought a villa on the Isle of Capri that was once owned by Caesar Augustus. And there for 40 years, Mona tended a beautiful garden and had several plants imported from her native Kentucky that didn't traditionally grow there, like magnolias and beautiful roses. And so the last gallery is some amazing photographs by Cecil Beaton, Horst, and Steichen, and other famous photographers of Mona in her gardens on Capri.
What fashion trends did she set or did she help to popularize?
Very simple cuts, monochromatic, beautiful colors, exquisite fabrics, colorless nail polish, the bias cut dress, double strand pearl necklace. You know, when you look at the evening wear that's in the exhibit, you see a lot of high-low dresses where the front is higher than the back with a little bit of a train. I mean, that's a very modern look that you see in ball gowns today and prom dresses.
And was it unusual for an American woman to be at the top of this Vogue list back in the 30s?
Well, she was the very first American. And of course, there have been Americans that have followed, but she was the first, and she stayed there. And I believe in the 1950s, she made the best of all time.
I was going to ask, too, it's remarkable to have this kind of record of dressing that spans, is it four decades?
It's five decades, actually, and it's an amazing record. And when she died, or shortly prior to her death, she gave many of her pieces to the Smithsonian, and then eventually they were given to museums all around the country. And then obviously Balenciaga and the Balenciaga Archive, which was started by Givenchy himself, collected many of the pieces back. And so the pieces in this exhibit come from all over the world, the Museum of the City of New York, the Bose Museum in London, Victoria and Albert Museum has pieces, Balenciaga pieces of Mona Bismarck's, there's the Smithsonian, and even Case Western in Cleveland and Columbus, Ohio. Of course, there's a great costume institute at Ohio and Columbus, and those pieces are represented in this collection.
So is this an exhibition that the Fraser Museum put together?
It is. It's an exhibition that we organize internally with a curator that we collaborated with named Scott Rogers, who lives here, and with our staff. And Scott spent about 2 years putting it together really lovingly and curating the visitor experience. Mona was a very generous woman. She was very generous of spirit. There's a letter from Cecil Beaton thanking her for the jam that were made with figs from fruits from her garden on Capri. And so this deep friendship was a quality not lost on her. She is just known for that generosity of spirit. So this exhibit really helps bring that to the forefront. She was active in the war effort. And of course, to this day, her home in Paris has become the Mona Bismarck Center for American Culture. So they put on art exhibits highlighting contemporary American art and culture right there in Paris. So her legacy really lives on, not only through her clothing, but through the charities that she supported. Her husband, Harrison Williams, was a great supporter of many of the Smithsonian's early expeditions to explore the world. And she and Harrison spent a year traveling the world in 1926. And that's when he bought her the Bismarck Sapphire, which is the largest sapphire on record, 95 carats. And it is now in the Smithsonian Natural History Museum in Washington. But the original drawing of that piece of jewelry by Cartier is in this Mona Bismarck exhibit.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating exhibit, and it runs through July 29th. And thank you so much for joining me. Penny Piepler is president of the Fraser History Museum in Louisville, where Magnificent Mona Bismarck runs through July 29th. You can find out more by going to our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Ann Ehrenstein.